welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives and give us a glimpse into their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and in this episode of This Song, we are going to hear from singer and songwriter Matthew Sweet. Dude, Matthew Sweet! That's how my inner 16-year-old feels about landing this interview, because his 1991 record Girlfriend was one of the go-to, start-to-finish records of my adolescence. And he's got a new record out called Tomorrow Forever that sounds very much in a Girlfriend vein. It's hooky and poppy and jangly in all the right ways. My inner 16-year-old really likes the new record. Matthew Sweet is wrapping up a North American tour promoting Tomorrow Forever right now, and he'll be heading back out on the road in earnest in September. And he came to Austin a couple weeks ago to play for two nights at 310 at ACL Live. And while he was here, he was kind enough to stop by KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, and play a live set. Now, this was during the day of the second show that he played. And as someone who was on the road for a while, like, I know those days where you play, but you don't have to travel, like, they are almost like days off. So we all felt really lucky and honored that he took time from his almost day off to come play in our live performance space, Studio 1A. After the set, Matthew Sweet sat down with me to tell me about a songwriter who really showed him what kind of musician he wanted to be. So here he is, Matthew Sweet.
My choice would be the Beatles, and I particularly related to John Lennon. I bought a 45 when I was pretty young, probably fifth or sixth grade, of Nowhere Man, and I was really kind of obsessed with this record.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
And looking back, what I think is really cool about him and those songs I liked is they were so personal. It was a real kind of interpersonal kind of feeling that he put across in a lot of his songs. And that song in particular, I just kind of related to it. It's a little bit of a feeling of a listless kind of, you know, person who didn't know exactly where they fit in, you know. On the heels of that, my parents had the Help soundtrack, and I really loved that song, Help.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help!
Which is very similar. It's a really personal statement from John that he used being in the band and their power and all of that to kind of say something really real, you know?
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground, won't you please, please help me?
Shortly thereafter, the Revolver album is a big favorite of mine, and it was a little different because it was sort of more adventurous, you know, and there was a song on it called She Said, She Said that I particularly was enamored of.
She said, I know what it's like to be dead. I know what it is to be sad.
And it's interesting in that it kind of goes into some different tempos has a kind of interesting way it's played, and is really, I guess, they're starting to get kind of psychedelic.
And you're making me feel like I've never been born.
It's interesting because when you started talking about Nowhere Man, I was like, we are all Nowhere Man,
yes,
to greater or lesser
degree,
right?
It's the universal struggle kind of thing, you know? And he kept doing that sort of thing, which is why he's kind of my favorite Beatle. He could be very edgy and sort of innovative, but then he could be very sweet and personal, you know, like songs like Julia, you know, on the White Album.
Julia, Julia, morning moon, touch me, so I sing the song of love.
I always loved those really personal songs of his, I guess, because it felt real to me. And in my own songwriting and becoming a sort of a singer-songwriter, I think I really looked up to that ability to do all sorts of things, you know, really personal things and then things that are more fun and things that maybe are a little more exploratory, adventurous, you know?
Yeah.
And trying to... On all my records, I really tried to have a wide range of things like that. I really looked up to it.
Yeah, I mean, the Beatles and John Lennon especially are really good for doing all, like, trying to do all the things. Like,
yeah, they always had a wide range of types of things. And, you know, they had it easier in that there was so much talent in the group. And to have both Paul and John, you know, I kind of miss that a little bit, having... to be just me, you know, it's a little more lonely or whatever, but they were so incredible because of that combination of people. And yeah, I always kind of envied that, you know, being in a group rather than a solo artist.
Now, did I read right? Weren't you in a group kind of early on in Athens?
I played in some groups. Yeah, I played in a group called OOK in Athens that we made an EP. And then I had a project that was just me and this drummer, David Pierce, and that was called Buzz of Delight.
Since you went away.
I worked on a side project with Michael Stipe that was called Community Trolls.
If I reached out tonight, I found I couldn't fight it. If you were here once, you were here a hundred times. Oh.
But really the only group in the way I'm talking about it that I was in was the Thorns.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Something's missing. We don't have to make believe. Nothing's gone.
Around, I guess, 2002, I did this one record with Sean Mullins and Pete Droege. And it was something, you know, I sort of kicked and screamed about it. We did a writing session in a studio, and we wrote this song called I Can't Remember and sang it all in three-part harmony. And we played it for, I guess, the guy that was funding the sessions on, like, a Friday. And on Monday, we got offered to do a record deal, and they were like, we want you to just be a group and do a record deal. And I was really weird about it because I'm such a solo artist, but... As I got into it, I really enjoyed being part of a group, and I did the high singing sort of was my part, and I got to play a lot of weird instruments. I played the vihuela and the dulcimer and ukulele. There was a song we sang where it was just me playing a baritone ukulele and the three of us singing harmonies.
Among the living, you'll find the dying, waiting softly to pass on. Why can't love be like a spirit as it floats up to the sky?
We toured a whole lot for it, and including we opened for the Dixie Chicks in all of Europe and England and Australia. And, you know, it was such an amazing thing. We played Royal Albert Hall a couple of nights, and to go, it was so scary, you know, to play the ukulele song because I was the only one playing. And it was the only song I think that anyone wrote alone on the record. It was something I wrote alone while we were recording. And but the sound of everybody singing harmonies in that hall was really magical, you know.
Because you know it makes you cry. Cause you can see, you see what's passed you by. Because you feel.
So I did have a really good time doing it, but at the end of it, the other two guys were kind of frustrated and really wanted to produce the next record ourselves, and the record label wouldn't agree to it. And so the option passed, and we just kind of never made another record. But it still was a great experience for me to learn how to play well with others, sort of. I wasn't good at it in the beginning, but at the end I was pretty okay.
And it also sounds like you got to scratch that like Beatles itch that had been kind of tugging at you
a little bit,
yeah, time.
Especially with doing the harmonies. You know, it was, they compared us to, you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, I hope, because I would want to be the Neil Young guy.
Find the cost of freedom buried in the Mother Earth will swallow you, lay your body down.
But yeah, it had a little bit of that thing with, you know, your buddies doing harmonies, and you didn't have to feel like you were the only guy, you know.
You said you heard the John Lennon Nowhere Man when you were in like fifth or sixth grade. And how old were you when you started writing music?
I really started writing more like ninth grade, probably, maybe eighth or ninth grade. And I just sort of didn't know, you know, where does music come from and how do people write songs? And I eventually came to sort of understand it. For me, I'm not a thought out kind of songwriter. I don't have an idea and I go, I'm going to write a song about this that is like this. And I found in co-writing, that's how people usually are. But for me, it's more stream of consciousness. It's kind of like whatever pops out, then I sort of know what the song's going to be. Once I have sort of a germ of an idea, it just kind of magically comes together. And so it's really fun for me still because it's such a mysterious process, sort of. I've never been so much a nuts and bolts kind of writer. And I think people thought of me a lot as a, you know, they would say he's a pop craftsman and this stuff. But I always kind of felt like I didn't deserve to be called that because it was so much more happenstance than sort of really knowing what to do. But that's the way I do it. And it's at this point, I'm really glad because it's kind of this never ending space. And if you can get in this kind of Zen mind, things just sort of come out. When I learned to make pottery, I learned to throw pottery on a wheel. And it had a very similar thing about it where you have to be able to get in this Zen spot where you're not thinking, it's just pure feeling coming, and that's when suddenly you can throw and it works. And it's the same way with my songs. I listen to them and I go, I don't know where that came from. How did I do it? You know, and with pottery, it was very similar. I look at a piece of pottery that was finished and think, how, where did it come from? You know, so I like that mystery sort of in music.
I wanna love somebody. Cause you need to get back in the arms of a good.
It sounds like for you, with art in general, it's allowing whatever it is to reveal itself to you.
Yes, it is. It just kind of comes out of nowhere, and it just kind of comes from the universe, you know?
Wow, that's like really cool.
That's deep,
man.
I know.
It's deep, man. So, I mean, in some ways, you're like a receiver.
I feel like I'm a receiver, yes, I do. I think that more accurately describes the way it is for me, my experience. It is like a receiver. It just kind of comes out.
Do you think when you're deciding, because you probably receive more than you keep, I would think most people do, maybe?
I do. I mean, I'll save up little ideas, little moments of inspiration. I might be doing something around the house and I start humming something and I'll try to record that little idea, and or I'm in the shower and I'm thinking something, and so afterwards I'll try and record it into my phone. And then when I listen back to them, the ones that have enough in them to become something, I just know immediately. It's like, oh, that, you know, clicks in my head, sort of the melody or melody and a couple of words or something, and then they just kind of grow out of that. I think of it a lot as growing, you know, like a plant grows or a flower or something.
Do you think one of the things that you're looking for is that, like, the thing that you were attracted to in John Lennon's writing?
Well, I think I'm looking for something new that makes me happy, kind of, you know? It's in a way, I guess it's sort of selfish, in that I really like doing music, and with all the sadness and uncertainty and all the downside of life, it's something that made me happy to sort of bring music out, and kind of there's this brief time when I'm enamored with listening to it and knowing kind of myself, and then that passes and I have to do new stuff, or everything else seems old to me, and I'm always looking forward, always kind of thinking about the next thing.
I felt the new earth was moving. I took it under my stride. I rode the sun, walked the moonbeams, and I felt really alive. While you slept, I looked into the past.
This is Trick from Matthew Sweet's new record, Tomorrow Forever. And seriously, listen to this song. I mean, anyone thinking that he is a pop craftsman, these people can be forgiven, right? Because Matthew Sweet's songs, they're really well constructed. They have these amazing hooks, and they're lyrically in tune with what's going on melodically, and like, they take you to places, but I love knowing that the process is not so cerebral. It's organic, like a plant. Cool. If you enjoyed that conversation that I had with Matthew Sweet about John Lennon, then I know you will love the interview I did with Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo, who also talked about a life-changing Beatles experience. He talked about seeing the Beatles on Ed Sullivan and how that totally transformed him as a kid. It's actually one of our most hilarious episodes, and you can find that episode along with our entire archive, over 94 episodes, on the podcast app or KUTX.org or wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. And believe me, there's a lot of good listening there. Like I said, Matthew Sweet will be going on tour in September, doing some dates in the Midwest and on the East Coast, and I will post a link to his tour dates on the show notes page for this episode at KUTX.org, so you can find out is Matthew Sweet coming to your town or near your town. I'll also put a Spotify playlist there so you can hear all the songs that we reference in this episode all the way through. And do you have a song or a record or an artist that changed the way you saw the world? We would love to hear about it. Tweet us at thissongkutx is our handle, or you can send us an email at thissong@kutx.org. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or call us. Our number is 512-766-9066. We'd love to put your story on the podcast. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. This interview was recorded by Jack Anderson. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account. Kelly Seal is our most excellent intern. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. It's possibly Mahout, but Mahout. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is @thissongkutx. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. And we'd always love a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.